Hello, guys, and welcome to the latest edition of the Black Spin Global podcast. I'm Eugene.
And I'm Lucy.
And yeah, guys, welcome to the latest edition. We have two special guests that are joining us today for this special episode. We've got Aram Akom and Jabila Asante, who are, kindly joining us on this Friday afternoon.
This is the first time we have two guests.
I want to say in the studio, definitely. Yeah. Obviously, we've had multiple guests before, but not in the studio. Yeah. So, welcome, guys.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah. Thank you for joining us, man. We're looking forward to getting into, our conversation. But I want to start with some quick fire questions just to warm us up.
Which tends to be me who actually asks these.
If you don't mind, Lucy.
I don't mind.
So, ladies first.
Yes. So this is just break the ice a little bit before we get to the actual real thing. So favorite player, man and woman?
Sloane Stephens for women.
Okay.
And can I use someone who's not playing?
Yeah.
I'm going to stick with Roger Federer.
Okay. Solid.
Yes. Yeah. That's my favorite of my big three.
So. Favorite all time.
Serena Williams and Andy Murray.
Okay, nice one. Solid picks. That was actually a Wimbledon doubles pairing.
Wimbledon
doubles pairing.
I don't know what year,
but that was a pairing.
I was there actually. 2019. Yeah,
of course you were there.
Favorite Grand Slam. Now, Jabila, you have to think about that really well.
I'm just really stressed. Favorite Grand Slam. I think it gives the best matches in the heart. I know everyone's probably going to be like, but I feel like it's got to be Roland Garros. It's got to be. Wow. I think it gives heart, and it's where everyone seems a little bit like it's anyone's game because the surface is just harder than most.
That's interesting. I like that. That's a good one. What do you think?
My heart's saying Wimbledon. But my head saying US Open.
Yeah. So, okay. Yeah. I'm in the middle. I'm the same. The way you feel about French Open is how I feel about US Open, though. Yeah. Because I feel like, because it's the last Grand Slam of the year.
Yeah.
I feel like people are like, it's either now or to next year. So, yeah. But that's really interesting. That's a good point. And last question. Favorite surface to play on?
Yeah. I'm going to say hard court, but something about a green clay court has my heart. But in Florida, we play on them all the time. So that's why.
I was going to say, green clay is very American.
Yes.
And as you can tell, guys, Jabila is American. So.
Which is a love because most of our listeners are actually American.
True,
so,
For me, it's hard court.
Hard court. Yeah. Okay, cool.
Yeah. I've been on hard courts. Yeah.
Cool. Okay. Well. These are actually quick. I like the answers. I feel like these have been a very, very different ones that we normally get.
Yeah, very varied, which is good. But yeah, guys, let's talk a bit about your kind of first involvements in tennis. If you can tell us, when you started and what age you were and how you got into the sport, basically.
You gonna kick off?
Okay. So I grew up in Florida. My sisters were running track and I also wanted to run track, but I just don't got it. I'm really quick, but it just don't last too long. So my mom was like, we got to find this girl a sport because Florida is just a busy place and children have to play sports. So one day at the park, someone was like, hey, she's lanky. She looks like she'll be all right on a tennis court. Can she come onto the tennis court? From that day, that man took me to a local club community and he obviously spoke to my mom, took me to a community club. From there, they were like, she will actually do good in actual tennis. She would be fine. So they took me to an actual camp. And I've been playing since I was 8. I took the sport serious from the time I was 12. So, and then I went to uni on a scholarship. So
nice. What uni?
I went to Allegheny. It's a private university. It's D2.
Okay.
Yeah, I chose that over going to Florida Gulf Coast because it just makes more sense education-wise to fall back on.
And you're playing tennis at uni as well? Mm-hmm. Okay. What was that like?
College tennis in America is just it's different. You are starting your day 5 a.m. in the gym. You are on the court 7 to, depending on your first class, 7 to 8 or 7 to 9, you will then go to class and you're expected back on the court from 3 to 7.
Wow.
And that last hour, you either run the mile, you're in the gym, and it's alternating. I was in the mountains, so you hiked there first. You hiked to the courts first. Yeah, it's an experience, but I really wouldn't trade the whole tennis experience for nothing.
And Aaron, yourself?
Yeah, so for me, I grew up in Camberwell, so started playing at Burgess Park Tennis Centre. Yes. Seven courts, just, you know, kids on the same programme, just playing once a week on a Saturday. And I guess, you know, when you're playing a sport and, you know, you're taking it really seriously, then you want to play frequently. So I was like, okay, I want to start playing more sessions. So I spoke to the club and started doing some sessions after school. And then from then, I practically lived at the tennis club. And, you know, for me, it was great because the tennis club was only 2 minutes away from my house. So it was like a perfect, you know, reason to just stay there. And my parents were comfortable, you know, leaving me and my brothers to just go. And, you know, they were safe and that sort of thing. So, yeah. That was generally
especially
yeah.
considering where Southeast high now it's okay.
It's getting better.
Not bad.
No, back then, especially, come on, man.
Listen, I'm a Southwest London boy.
Exactly.
But wait, listen. It's getting very political all of a sudden. I do find that people will like have this idea that like South London is like hood or ghetto. Which I don't necessarily agree
it
with.
It is a hood, funny enough. No. It is. But it's okay. There's nothing wrong with the hood. That is why I'm there. Exactly. Let's stay with our people.
Yeah, I hear it.
Okay. Interesting stories there. In terms of, like your experiences as juniors, if you can talk about your experiences as juniors, so playing tournaments, for instance, like what do you remember of that time? If you can just like maybe shine some light on that.
So I think what I really liked about my, you know, junior tennis experience was there was a lot of players similar to myself who, you know, were at the same age, you know, same level, and we all used to travel to tournaments together. That was, you know, really fun. And it just felt like we was one little family. And that was something that, helped me play tennis, you know, long term. You know, we would go to tournaments, we would train before, we would train when we get there, and we didn't do the best purely because I don't think we had, you know, the level of training that the other kids had, you know, in the academies that we were, you know, coming up against. But we still loved it, and we would always keep playing, we would keep fighting, and it was just something that we loved doing. So I guess from that perspective, it was something that kind of kept me involved in the sport, I would say.
And Jabila, yourself?
Yeah, I grew up in Central Florida, so you're in a tournament every weekend. If you want to be something in Florida where everyone is literally flying in to train, especially in the summer, everyone's sending their kids there. If you want to be something, you have to play every day and you have to show up to the tournaments. And I wasn't able to full-time homeschool. So they have something called Florida Virtual School, and I would do it half the day. So I would get out of school at like, if normal kids were getting out of school at like 2-3 o'clock, I'm getting out at like 12. And I'm on the court as soon as, like, I'm literally getting picked up or until I could drive, then I would drive myself, but literally getting picked up and going straight to the court, because you have to train that many hours to even make a difference. So as a junior, I excelled. I also lost a lot of tournaments. I also would get to the finals or the quarters and lose. I'd win the constellation. Like, if I was in a constellation, everybody was pissed. But Florida was just, it was just killer. I played with some of the best people. I went to camp with some of the best people. I went to camp with Danielle Collins, like, literally. Wow. So, like,
Danielle.
Yeah, from the time we were like, from the time we were like 8 till 7, like 16, 17. Wow. Like, yeah, so, and you think about that. That's who's on the top court. Yeah. And now that's like a, you know, professional. Like, these are the people that were surrounded in my circuit. So, yeah, I would say my junior tennis experience was intense. You had to really want it. I would also say, like, there could have been more support for minority people in the sport,
which we'll get into.
Leave it at that.
Just before we do, like, kind of get into that, like, how would you guys say that, like, tennis is like shaped or helped shape your lives, like in terms of what kind of effect has tennis had on your like adult life? Because I feel like there's a lot of positives, like because I played it as a junior too. I mean, Lucy, you played a bit as well. But like I feel like there's so many kind of different aspects you can like kind of take from playing tennis and apply it to life. Like, I don't know if you guys feel the same.
Well, for me, it's done everything. You know, tennis is basically my life. So it's like everything I do now is evolved around tennis. And like you said, there's so much I've learned. And especially as a coach, which we'll probably get into more, it's given me certain skills and certain values, which I then pass on to the players that I work with. So I guess, you know, from a personal perspective, but then also professionally as well.
I think it's a mindset. I think once you've been, especially like, I guess, groomed in a sport, that becomes how you actually view the world. So, you know, tennis is a very independent sport. So you think, when I make a decision, this is on me. When I perform, this is on me. So I tend to make my life decisions knowing the full consequence, or thinking, okay, what can I do? The same way you would think, okay, I'm going to play a point. Am I going to hit forehand? Am I going to hit a backhand? Am I going to run around my forehand? I think the same thing. Am I going to prioritize this? Am I going to do this? Everything I do due to how I was groomed is a match. I'm a very calculated person. Yeah. I'm also a very level-headed person, because tennis is a mental sport more than anything, in my opinion. So it's like, I'm very much like, okay. Like, and it's a very UDU. So I feel like, yeah, shaped me as a whole person.
Very interesting. And just how did you guys kind of come together? Because why we're really here is to talk about the Black Tennis Mentors and also your work, Aram, as well, that you do in the community. But yeah, if you can talk about like how you two kind of, came to be.
You can do that one, because she knows it better than I do. Yeah.
So it's quite funny. I moved to London in 2019. I moved to London in 2019, but I really wasn't keen on staying. So I was like traveling to Ghana, coming back, traveling in America, coming back. And when I came back, I was like, you know what I'm really going to do? I'm going to get involved in tennis. So I'm walking around Burgess Park one day, and I'm like, I was like taking a run or something. And I was like, there's a Black guy on the tennis court. Like, in the middle of London, there's a Black guy on the tennis court. So I'm like, oh, I got to ask him questions. But he was in the middle of a lesson. So I walk up to this guy and I'm like, hi, I used to play tennis. So like, I'm trying to get back into the sport. What is the tennis scene like out here? He was like, well, I'm in a lesson, but you know, like really quick, he was giving me like, oh, you know, there's tournaments, there's this, there's that. What do you want to do? And I was like, let's exchange contact details. He gave me his card. I'm like, I'm going to contact this guy. COVID obviously happens. I don't contact the guy. Life happens. And I don't know, maybe last year, June it was. I'm like, okay, guys, I'm going to get into the sport. Like, I'm really going to get back into the sport. Walking on the court again, there's a whole nother Black guy. So I'm like, okay, this is Junior. So he's someone different. I tell him I want to play. We go for a lesson. And he literally was like, yeah, take my Instagram. That like same weekend, well, like a month maybe, he posts that they're doing something in Streatham and that they're like running a kids program. I'm like, do you need help? I want to get involved. He was like, I'll give your contact information to the guy running it. I get to this event because the guy said I should come at 9. I get to this event and it's the same Black guy that I saw like 4 years earlier, 3 years earlier. I'm like,
crazy.
I'm like, yeah. Wow. I didn't even tell him that because I was like, imagine trying to tell someone you know them. But yeah, after that, he reached out to me. Wow, and
here we are.
Yeah, he was just like, I like the fact that you came out when you didn't know anyone to help out. Mm. What are your plans for tennis? And he had these plans. We had plans. I had plans about what I wanted to do with bringing like beginners that are adults into the sport. And everything just got birthed.
Wow, that's incredible. Amazing. I love that. Yeah. Very organic.
Very organic. A bit more like us.
It's very similar.
Yeah, because we didn't know each other at all. I just found, because obviously Eugene started the platform. Yeah. I just found it and I was like, oh, this is cool. And I was just sharing. And he messaged me and he was like, yeah, let's do that podcast together. And I was like, no. I was like, I can't do this. And he forced me and now, you know, we're here. So it's really nice seeing that and how you guys were on the same page and, you know, you're like working out like together and stuff. But yeah.
Now, Aram, if you can talk about Project AA as well. Like, sure. So that stands for accomplish anything. What kind of was your thinking behind, well, the name for one, and also like what are your kind of aspirations for that, like going forward?
I'll start with the name. So Aram Akom, accomplish anything, AA.
Like that.
Okay. So that was that.
Makes sense.
And it all started around COVID time. I don't know what your experience was, but I know during lockdown, I was very depressed because we weren't allowed on the tennis courts. And I love tennis. You guys do. And when you're doing something your whole life and you do it all the time, it becomes a part of you. So not being able to go on the tennis court just didn't sit right. You know, my coach and I, there was one day we went on the tennis court and the police came on and told us that we have to leave. And we tried everything. It just didn't work. But then it was also a blessing in disguise because it gave me an opportunity to sit down and reflect and think about my, you know, my next steps and kind of what I want to do, you know, with the work that I was already doing in the community and kind of how I want to, you know, take it to the next level. So I decided to do a master's and, you know, go to university and kind of further my knowledge because I felt that I was missing, you know, there was more learning that I had to do. And I really enjoyed my experience at Roehampton University. So I wanted to take that further. So went and did a master's.
Shout out fellow Roehampton alumni here.
So did that. And then at the same time, when I went to Roehampton, I also got the current coaching role that I have now as the head coach at the Butterfly Tennis Club.
Nice.
And they essentially approached me to ask if I could design and deliver their bursary program where we provide free tennis to children that wouldn't normally afford the sport. And it's generally those from low socioeconomic backgrounds and ethnically diverse backgrounds. You know, and that was obviously something that I was very passionate about doing because I was one of those children at Burgess Park that grew up, you know, parents not being able to afford tennis, but luckily I was on a program that could, you know, give us free training for a long time. So this was like, you know, now my next step to give back to the community. So I felt like, you know, I had the coaching role. I was doing a master's in sports management, which would tie in really nicely with the head coach role and managing the club and the committee and the whole coaching program. And then the Project AA was now sort of the branding behind, you know, the whole platform or the whole business, if that's how you want to put it. And essentially it's showing, you know, children, young people and the adults that I work with that through sports, through hard work, you know, through dedication and so many skills that we learn on the tennis court and also through life, you can accomplish anything. And that can go to any, you know, level or, you know, through any spectrum, whether you want to become the best tennis player in the world and, you know, win grand slams or, you know, whether you just want to beat your sibling on the tennis court in a match. Like it could be anything. I get all of these, you know, requests. You can imagine with the number of people that I'm working in. So that's kind of how it started. And yeah, that's where it is today.
That's really dope. Especially that we are, I feel like our generation kind of lost like a sense of like community as well. Yeah. So the fact that you've birthed that idea and especially for like, because one of the reasons why I couldn't play tennis as much as I wanted when I was younger is because of funding and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, like, my parents are busy worrying about bills. They don't care about me wanting to play like tennis. And I get, at that time, I was a kid. I didn't understand it. But as an adult, I get it now. So having people like you doing those type of things is like, is incredible.
Yeah.
But then after that, you then launched the Black Tennis Mentors. So what's the difference between those two? And what also made you lead from Project AA to then having that? And is that when you guys started working together, I'm guessing?
Yeah. So I think based on all the kind of the work that I did or from the birth of Project AA and kind of the response that I was getting, the opportunities that I was receiving, the feedback that I was receiving from people, you know, people, I can't tell you the countless amount of times I get messages on Instagram of people saying, I'm so inspired by your work. You know, how do you get this opportunity? What can I do, you know, to get the same thing? And I realized that this is powerful because people are seeing what you're doing and they're being inspired. Mm-hmm. And I was like, there must be more people out there that are either doing the same thing or just maybe need a bit of an edge to kind of spotlight the work that they're doing so we can bring them together in a community and show the work that we're all doing, you know, collectively, just like yourself, you know, and us all working together to try and, you know, accomplish any goals that we have. So that's kind of how it came about.
Okay. And then when did, like, how did you guys start, like, working together on, like, the projects?
Yeah. So, yeah, then I reached out to Bea and basically told her the idea of the platform and, mm-hmm. and what I, you know, what I wanted to do. And she also had similar ideas as well that kind of fell in line with the platform, mm-hmm. which, you know, she can also speak about as well. And then I guess we just thought it would make a great, you know, sort of partnership to collaborate together and see how we can work with one another.
Yeah. So yeah, if you can talk about like what is the Black Tennis Mentors, like what are its aims and like, yeah, what are the goals like going forward?
Yeah, Black Tennis Mentors is actually split into four parts in a sense, but the overarching goal is to there's multiple goals, create tennis enthusiasts. So like little kids of color that are interested in tennis, but they just don't see the way. And where we want to create exposure is not just on the court, but the people that every step that mm-hmm. gets you to that point. So the coaches, mm-hmm. the mentors, you know, people who don't coach, like myself, I'm not a coach, but I've played the sport, so I understand it from a player's level. Mm-hmm. We wanted to actually build that foundation from the ground up and then obviously highlight the people that are performing in these different roles and give them an opportunity to speak, but also create community as well, where mm-hmm. where they can speak amongst themselves, they can speak to children, they can speak to the parents that also need the assistance or the guidance or anything. So it's really this spider web of a network of what we want to do in order to see more people like us in positions that are already being occupied by different people.
Yeah, no, I love that. Yeah. Do love that a lot.
I feel like the reason why it's important as well, because it helps us see that there are actually people like us who are interested in the sport in all levels. Because when he reached out to me, for instance, I thought he was in America. So when he was like, yeah, let's do like a podcast, I was like, great, but I'm in London. He was like, okay, yeah, I'm in London too. I was like, what?
Yeah.
You know, so like, it's very nice, especially in the UK as well, not just like the US. And that is why I thought he was like in the US as well. Even some of my friends sometimes when they see some stuff, they're like, not only did I know there's so many, you know, Black tennis players, but even like Black people being interested in tennis as well. And even the ones, and it's going to even help us get people like into the sport, because I can see that, you know, some of our work, or probably even some of your work as well, where people are like, you know what, this is actually interesting. Like, we can get in more. And you can see the growth of people's interest in different sports. For example, you see more people interested in F1. You see more people being interested in like women basketball as well and stuff. And it would be great for us to like have that. So having that platform is honestly amazing. And shout out to you guys doing that.
It's massive. It really is. Like the visibility thing is a big thing. Mm-hmm. What you going to add?
No, I was going to say, just going off of your point, when it does come to the UK, it's so crazy to me what the culture looks like of tennis here and what the culture looks like of tennis in America.
Okay, that's going to be one of my questions. Like, how do they compare?
Yeah, but just for this conversation or this part of the conversation's sake, it's like everything in the US seems to be so diverse and the UK just seems so far behind it in terms of like who is playing, who is coaching, what is happening. Yep. So like that's another reason why we're so interested in Black Tennis Mentors UK, because the visibility, like you said, it's just not there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to junior tournaments and seeing 20 odd kids sitting together and everyone's Black and that's fine. Mm-hmm. And they came from a certain camp and everyone kind of knows that camp. In the US, you'll hear people, in Florida to be specific, we had a camp, St. Petersburg is like a more majority Black area. Mm. So there's like two tennis camps there. So you're like, oh yeah, they came from Pete. Yeah, like we know that group over there. Like, but you're not seeing that type of community here. And that's what we want to birth. Mm. That's what we want to nurture, expose if it's already existing, you know, just in case someone is out there doing that work.
Yeah,
exactly. Definitely. And it's also like this thing of like, you know, people always think the sport is just for rich white people. And it's even an issue in our own community, because even between my friends, they like to call me rich because I like tennis. And I'm like, bro, no, it's not like that. So like,
And you have rich taste.
And I have rich taste. You know, I do. Unfortunately, Eugene did put me on the spot. Unfortunately, I do. I like expensive stuff, but I am not rich yet, by the grace of God. But still, like, it's just this idea, like, you know, because even like, even in terms of like media itself, you know, people are like shocked when they see Eugene and I walking in. They're looking at us like we are at the wrong place. Like, I remember the first ever time we went to our first like tournament as media. I'm not going to say the tournament to put them on the spot.
I don't.
And like the security, like they were hostile, as like, they were looking at us like, you're not meant to be here. Then when we told them like, no, we need you, it switched up.
Yeah.
So yeah. I really hope that people can see that, you know, if you can't play like we couldn't, especially like Eugene, like he was, that's what he wanted to do. Like, he actually wanted to play professionally, but couldn't because of like funding and stuff. Then you can do other stuff. Yep. You can be an empire. Who knows? You can, you know, do some sort of like media. You like photography? Why don't you do tennis to photography? Yep. You know, you can coach. You can, there's so many other things that can be done. And I feel like platform, like you guys can definitely like help shine that and let people know that don't think that you need to have X amount of money in your account or be a specific like race for you to be in that space. Black people are everywhere. Like we are everywhere. We can be in tennis too. And I'm hoping that in the next generation, it's not going to be like that. Like our kids, our grandkids can be in this space and feel comfortable. Because I still feel uncomfortable, yet I've been doing this for so long. And that feels weird. Like I want to be, And I think that's why when people see our post or listen to the podcast, they're like, man, this is refreshing, this is different.
Yeah,
like we need that space, especially in the UK, because you watch sports in the US, it's exciting, everyone's like shouting, but like here it's like no, let's have fun, let's break out. And I hope that we can all do that together as well.
Definitely. But Aram, you've obviously been in tennis for like 10 years or you've been working in tennis for like 10 years. In that time, have you noticed like a not change, but a difference, or has there been an uptick in Black involvement coming through? So like juniors playing and like just interest in general.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely from my experience growing up, there wasn't many Black players I can remember on the junior circuit when I was traveling around, but there's a lot more now. A lot of young, talented juniors as well that are coming through. You know, that just need a little bit more support and guidance to, you know, to push them through. A lot of children and young people in the parks that are super talented. And I think these are individuals that are not being supported enough. You know, these are actually players that, you know, raw talent, you know, that can really be nurtured if they had the right guidance, you know, compared to my time when I was playing. So definitely.
Definitely. And Jabina, if you can talk about, well, how things compare in America, obviously you're not there now, but like, have you felt there's been a change or shift in the amount of Black players coming through and like Black people wanting to get involved in tennis?
Yeah, I think it was there. And I'll bring up another point in just a moment, but I think it was there. How it was nurtured was strange. Like you almost had to decide if you wanted to go the Black route of tennis for the opportunity that was there, where you go to the Black tennis camps, you go to a Black university because you've done so well as a Black tennis player, and then you decide what you want to do with the sport afterwards. So there's a lot of people going through that route where they stay Black in that sense, I should say. So it's there. And as a matter of fact, it's quite that way for most races. You have the people that are Eastern European stick together. The people that can, if you speak Spanish in the sport, you're definitely you're in your own place. But like, I see now there's more diversity. There's more breaking down, and there's representation in college tennis that's Black players that aren't just at Black schools or HBCU. Yeah, sorry, my sisters went to one. They're going to be like, they're going to be so embarrassed. But yeah, that didn't go to these institutions. So it's just like, I am seeing a lot more of it, and I am proud of basically where it's going in America. I can't speak for the UK because one, I didn't grow up here. Yeah, makes sense. But I think viewing it as an outsider, you're just kind of like, whoa, there should be more of everyone here, right? Mm-hmm. And there just isn't. So hopefully that changes, like you said, for us.
Definitely.
Yeah. You won the Game Changer in the Community Award from like Tennis Blacklist last year. And that was actually their first time running that as well.
Congrats.
Congrats to that. Beside that award, what have been some of like your most like rewarding moments in like your career?
There's so many. My girlfriend's always asking me to talk about all of them. I'm like, but I can't remember all of them. Like, there's too many. You've put me on the spot. I guess probably last year, the Surrey Tennis Awards. I think Surrey President Award. Okay. That was when I was really happy to win. It's kind of similar to the Game Changer Award as well. Oh my gosh, you're really putting me on the spot. There's been a lot. I think one award that I'm really happy with, it was one that I won back when I was at Burgess Park, when I was really young, starting my junior career, and that was the Jack Petchy Award. And it was given to me for just kind of like the contributions that I was doing in the community with the kids. And it was probably when I was about 12 or 13, I think I won this award. So that one I always remember.
Nice.
But yeah, there's too many.
I can't remember them all offhand. For you to feel this way,
yeah,
especially considering your age, that's actually amazing. So that's good. A lot of times you don't get people thinking about like, oh man, what have I accomplished that I'm proud of? They have an answer straight away. So for you to be saying that, that's honestly like dope.
Who have been like some of the organizations and maybe like individuals as well that have like helped you, both of you, I should say, like along in this journey? Like if you can name some.
Yeah, sure. So I'll probably have to start with Burgess Park Tennis Club, where I grew up. And they were also the individuals that paid for my coaching qualifications. Nice. So without them, I wouldn't have got into coaching, and it wouldn't have led to where I am today. Then there's my coach now. It's called Barry Bartley. He's a high performance coach, self-taught coach. He's absolutely phenomenal. He is the one that is mentoring me now as a player and a coach, to hopefully then develop black players in the community and take them all the way through the process.
He's got a son, hasn't he?
Lamar Bartley. He does have a son. Yeah, Lamar was a top player in Britain, and he was doing really well, and currently out in the States doing college tennis. So yeah, I've been working with Barry for about 9 years now. So he's had a huge influence on my development as a coach and as a player, and just through life as well. And then probably my friends and family, just supporting them, them supporting me throughout my whole journey, just being there with me and always, congratulating me for the work that I'm doing and just being by my side. So probably, those individuals.
LTA as well, because you guys are affiliated with the LTA.
Like, yes.
Yeah.
So the LTA, obviously, as an accredited coach through the LTA, so I run a lot of their programs, Free Parks Tennis, the LTA youth program, which is the kids program that I do, both at the Butterfly Tennis Club, and also a recent venue that I received the opportunity to run another coaching program at in Streatham, which B was talking about earlier.
Okay.
So a lot of work that I do with them, and then also now through the mentoring platform, there's some exciting things that we're doing with them too.
Nice. Great.
So yeah.
How have you found like the LTA in terms of being kind of an assistant in kind of what you're doing? Like, have you found them to be quite helpful?
Absolutely. From a coaching perspective, 100%. There's a lot of things that we have to do as a coach to keep up with the accreditation and just ensure
you're, that you're level three coach,
level three accredited coach. And I'm currently on the process of doing their mentoring scheme, which is really good. Something that will kind of boost my accreditation and my knowledge. So that's something I'm really excited about. And then with the opportunities that they've given me with the coaching program at Streatham, and then now with the mentoring platform, they've been really supportive, and constantly in contact with different individuals from the LTA who can help us from different perspectives in the things we're working on. Yeah. So that's been really good.
Because one thing we should also, and you do shout them out a lot, in recent times, they have been kind of being big on pushing like diversity in the sport.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like some people see it like one or two ways. You can look at it being, oh, this is quite corny, or it's a good thing. Like, and it is, I mean, for me, it's both. Like, because I don't like things that come across as being forced. Mm. And I think there's a way you can do things where it's like just natural and like organic. Yeah. Like I'm big on organic.
Facts.
And I feel like with the right type of people behind it, like things can be done in a way where it's like just natural, and like people naturally gravitate towards the sport where it's like not so much like forced forced down and like, yeah. Kind of going off track there, so let me stop.
Because
I don't know how things are in the US, like with the USTA, like how do they compare?
Side eye.
This camera went. You know what?
The cameras are still rolling.
Next question. Because
we're doing the best. Wow.
I mean,
it's bigger. That's all. I think that's true.
It's bigger.
It's a lot. It's a lot more ground to cover. So obviously, it's going to be much easier for people to slip through the cracks, or for programs not to be had that are inclusive, or them to focus. Oh, sorry. For them to focus, because I wasn't expecting it. For them to focus on you know, areas where people progress. Like Florida is always going to probably have the best tennis programs to offer, and so on, and so in California, of course.
Because of the climate.
So they're going to focus a lot of their, any of the good stuff that they can do is always going to be done in any of those spotlighted areas. But yeah, I think that they are working to diversify. And they actually do have a good number of staff that is minority group or minority other. So, I mean, it's good to see what they're going to
do. Because that's a big thing as well, like the whole staff thing.
Yeah,
for me,
staff.
That needs to be reflective. Like if you're pushing these schemes, like let's see some staff that are like also from these communities that you're trying to get involved in the sport.
True.
Like let's make sure they're actually working there as well, like for your organization. Like, and I feel like that's sometimes where things can kind of get a bit 100%. Cloudy.
I think that's every industry though.
Exactly.
Like you can tell every time whenever like a company or a brand does something and you're just thinking, you definitely did not have a black person in that room, because if not, you'd have not done or said something else. Literally, it could be whether you're trying to do damage control, whether you're trying to do marketing, whether you're
making things worse.
And I don't think they understand it. And They don't understand the importance of it. That's why when you're seeing people like Elon Musk trying to go on about how we don't need DEI, it's like you actually need it more, because you don't know how it is when you're trying to communicate to a certain community. And that makes perfect sense. You're a white rich man. You don't know what a black rich person or a black poor person, a middle class person is thinking of, or Asian person and so on. Yeah. It's the same with us, with the Asian community. There might be some things that are similar. You know, for example, like black and Asians, we talk a lot about the pressure from families. Yeah. White people don't really get that, but it's still very different in the black community and Asian community.
100%.
So yeah, I hope that in all aspects, in all like places in tennis, whether it's in the US or in the UK, there's more of those faces up there to make those decisions as well. Not only when it's like a specific time, like it should be like an all year round thing.
Yeah.
Not only just Black History Month. Yeah. Don't wait till Black History Month to be posting content about black people or like when they're winning and so on. Just, you know, have it there all the time. But aside from that,
let's bring it back on track.
Yeah. Within 5 years, where do you guys see Project AA and Black Tennis Mentor?
Great question, because you asked me this question a couple of days ago and I still don't know the answer to that. Because it's just, I think with the Black Tennis Mentors, there's so much it can do. Mm. And I think that's what's creative about it. Mm. There's so many sort of avenues, and because it's also getting other people involved, that then takes it to a whole different level because of what they're doing as well. So we're just excited that we've started, and we're just looking forward to the process and seeing where it can kind of blossom. That's from my perspective,
correct.
Anyway.
Individually then, where do you see, or where do you hope to be like in 5 years' time? Because do you have like coaching aspirations, for instance? Like,
okay, so yeah, so definitely, you know, myself and my coach, we're obviously working with players that we have at the moment. There's a young black girl that I'm coaching now called Nazra. I'm not sure if you've seen her on my Instagram, yeah, but we did a little shoot with Head recently, and that was phenomenal.
Is she from Scotland?
No, that's Grace.
Okay.
So, sorry, no, not from Scotland. There's a few. So Nazra, she's 8. Started at the Butterfly Tennis Club on the bursary program. She's someone that I've been coaching since she was 5. You know, she has aspirations to become, you know, the next Serena Williams and Coco Gauff. Nice. You know, that's, you know, her sorts of dreams. And then there's also Eliana. She's from from Leeds. Okay. So she's a young girl that comes down from Leeds every so often that my coach and I, we work with to support her, her development. And there's also Grace, who lives in the, she lives in not far from Gosling sort of area, so Hertfordshire. I also do some work with her, and she's currently on the junior ITF circuit, so she does a lot of traveling. Wow. And that's when we went to Scotland,
okay.
Which is where you probably saw us. So just working with as many players as possible and trying to get them as far as they can.
That's cool. What about you, Trivia?
In terms of like an individual goal for tennis?
Yeah.
I want to like break that barrier that tennis isn't for everyone. And I want to step, like earlier you said, your friends think that, you know, you have expensive taste or that's just bizarre or whatever, that they're involved in tennis. I think it's because of the stereotypes that are around tennis and just the image of tennis.
Yeah.
But I think if tennis was as easy to do or as accessible as like Top Golf or anything like that, then people would be interested. Or if it was more social and a bit catered to ourselves. So recently I developed created a platform and it's called Back It. And the goal of Back It is to, the same way you come out for a day party, come out and play tennis. So it's going to have music, it's going to have vibes, it's going to be rooted in teaching you the sport, introducing you to the sport. Tennis is at the heart of the sport, but definitely letting you socialize how a country club would, but for us.
Sounds dope. Incredible. Yeah,
that
wow.
sounds dope.
Yeah, so it's,
so you're telling me I can hear Sexy Red while I'm
yeah.
Oh, foul.
Yeah, so, I mean, definitely like spoon feed it to us in our age group, because we are who we're going to have children next, or we have right. children, or I don't know. Right. But like, right. you know, we're the next generation. So if we felt different about the sport or we felt it was fun, we would put as many bodies into it as possible. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's what's going to make difference.
Yeah.
So that's my goal.
That's actually dope, because even if it's not playing, like for example, we can have like when there's football or other sports, or when match it's like a big thing, everyone like watching together. You're all going to the pub watching it together. How about we go to a black owned pub? You can go Prince of Peckham or whatever, and we have like a Wimbledon match on.
Let's they go do that.
Or
actually.
Watch it, or even like see. This is what I'm saying. Like more.
That's what I'm saying. But the representation ain't there. When I went there I watched, and I was watching the final, and I was just like,
yeah. See, so it's like stuff like that. It's like, you know, we can be doing more of 100%. That as well, to be telling people like, yeah, just come and watch it like all together and stuff. Because for example, Wimbledon final last year, my tier was full of people talking about it.
Yeah.
It's like, man, it would be so cool if it was all of us sitting down together watching it, even as people I don't even know like what's going on, but they would still watch it. For example, World Cup, I don't know anything about football, but I'm gonna watch it. You know, yeah, exactly. It's the same with that. So that's actually a great concept. Might need to be involved in that.
100%.
So I can play some tennis.
Definitely keep us posted on Back It.
Yeah.
Just like lastly, like in terms of the sport, obviously we all love the sport, and we're coming from it from a black angle, obviously. Like what do you feel could be done to kind of make the sport more popular? Because obviously it's not on the scale of football or soccer, as Americans call it, like, but for me, like, tennis is a sport that should be maybe not as popular, but like up there, because it's a global sport. Like, right. You've got players from all over the world. It's played all over the world. It's played all year round. Like, but for some reason, it's not as popular as like, yeah, football, like basketball, NFL. Mm-hmm. Like,
I think it is popular though.
Really?
I think it is popular.
Okay.
I think our black community needs to know that it's popular.
Yeah.
I think that's something that needs to change. It's the culture.
It's the fact that no one wants to hear, don't clap too loud, don't get excited. It's too dictated in a sense. But from a viewer standpoint, not even like the players, you know, they do what they want when they want, sometimes depending on the player. It's like you said, there's just not spaces where people have been included, where they're like, let's actually go watch it on because I think next to Tower Bridge, they bring all the screens out.
Yeah,
and next to my job, they bring all the screens out. Well, there's no screen in Peckham, Prince of Peckham, but there's no screen that's out there for us to sit here and even walk by and even be like, ooh, that was a good match, or that was this. Yeah. And tennis has all the shots and strokes that, like, every second is worth watching.
Yeah.
But we just haven't, we haven't expanded on making it fun to watch. Like you said, if on break Sexy Red was doing commercials, people would be watching it.
That's true.
It's it's the whole culture. No one's boring a bit.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. And I think the people are in it as well, though, they kind of like gatekeeping it.
Yes,
you know what I mean? Like even the, for example, like the process of buying Wimbledon tickets. As a tennis fan, I like the concept of it because it makes sure that tennis fans are the ones that always go in. But for example, I have friends right now who are messaging me because obviously Wimbledon's coming up. Lucy, I want to go. I'm like, bro, you actually can't go to next year because of the bloody ballot.
Yeah.
Do you get what I mean? So like, but it's, people don't, I have a theory that the concept of the whole ballot thing is done so that the rich white people can go, but not really rest could go. That's my theory only. Do you get what I mean? That's what I'm saying. So it goes to that extent. It's like, you know, or like when you go to certain tournaments, there's one tournament, I'm not saying the name because I want us to be able to go there. There's one tournament when you're there in person, you can tell they do not want the other people to be going there. So I feel, and that's why I feel like people like us who are there already, we need to also let people know, like, be more like noisy about it. Like, hey, there's this big match that's coming. So, like, for example, all my friends saying it, all my friends, I want to go Wimbledon. I'm like, all right, go Eastbourne. It's cheaper.
Yep.
The weather is nice.
Yep.
You're most likely going to see top players. Yep. You get to see men and the women players.
Yep.
Like, it works well. Just take that one train from London Bridge or East Croydon and you're literally there within like an hour. Yeah. Like, just pull up and come through. So, I think that's other ways to like and stuff. But, I know there's going to be a time where it's going to be big, or we could do it now. Like,
we can do it now. That's like, what I'm saying. You got five friends, you got five friends, I got five friends, he got five friends. 100%. We all go to the Eastbourne tournament.
And you post it and everything, people will be hyping it up. Oh, wait, Pims, and you're outside.
Yeah, I'm watching. You know what? Because recently I told Aram, I skied for the first time. And I don't know if you guys have seen like OP and Soft Life Ski and all this stuff.
I saw it. I was like, I didn't get the medal for that, by the way.
Next year, it's going to be bigger. But like, I skied for the first time and like going to the mountains and seeing like a group, or basically, however both teams started, they started with like their founders going on a trip with themselves because they're friends and then being like, more people should come, inviting them the next year. And now it's developed into this. So it's like, if we want that same type of energy for tennis, we do have to be that change. We do have to say,
facts,
the people that aren't playing, which is like, you know, why Black Tennis Mentors exist, why Bracket exists, whatever. The people that aren't playing, let's show them the people that are playing, that are doing something, and then they'll want to go. I'm sure people reach out to you guys and say, I wasn't watching tennis, now you guys are commentary watching tennis. We just got to get up and do it.
Yeah. And also, this makes the players happy.
100%.
Like, they when the it. Players see Black people, like, watching, like watching them and stuff, like, you can see, like, the difference and stuff. And for the, obviously, a lot of the top players, they're Americans. And I know it makes a difference if they come to Europe and see, like, oh, shoot, like, there's actually, like, you know, like, Black people. So, like, even...
and like, Black people live in London.
And even, like, even in terms of, like, media, you can see the difference in their face and, like, the answer, the way that they move around when they literally just see people like us or like Tamani, for example, from The Guardian and stuff. Yeah. It makes a massive difference. So
I think that's we need to make it happen. To add on that point, we actually just did a podcast with Tamani.
Oh, nice.
Last week.
Shout him out. But no, just to kind of add on to what you said, I 100% agree with you. A couple of years ago, I was lucky to go out for Nick Kyrgios' birthday party.
Oh, nice.
It was here in London. And
humble brag.
Yeah, I kept that one quiet. But yeah, it was phenomenal. But when I went to the apartment where they were staying, so I've walked into the room and literally Nick Kyrgios was like sitting here on a table and he puts his hand out and he goes, "Hi, my name is Nick, nice to meet you." And I shook his hand firmly. And as I've turned my head to the left, the first person I saw sitting there was Francis Tiafoe. And you know when you get that brotherly connection, you know when you get that connection? I felt that connection. He was like, yeah, that's my brother. And, you know, I shook his hand or gave him a fist bump. I can't remember what it was, but...
Probably dapped him up.
Dapped him up. I was like, but there was an instant bond there. And just like you're saying, you know when they... When they see you, they feel happy because it's like, oh, that's another one of us. You know, and he didn't know who I was from Adam. He was just another Black boy, but he it felt something, difference. You know, so that was powerful.
And
so,
they don't understand it because I remember there was one time last year, Wimbledon or Queens, one of them. and Frances must have dapped up like Eugene. Yeah. And you should have seen everyone's face. Like, well, it's yeah, like, yeah. But you guys don't understand that. It's deep. It's deeper than just like, was just saying hi. Yeah. It's like, we are in an environment where you try to tell us that we don't belong here, but we are here.
Yes.
I'm here as a top player and I'm here as media to cover him and all the other players and, you know, making that difference. But honestly, guys, one thing that I loved about this pod is that it has inspired me even, to be honest, to be like doing more of the things and bringing more like the people into the sport. That is been very like,
I think the word you use, gatekeep, like the sport is very gatekept. Yeah. And like what we're doing is opening the gates. Facts. Like, and I love that.
Yeah.
So yeah, just massive shout out to what you guys are doing.
Honestly, like I said, you guys are doing way more than what we're doing. Yeah,
we want to help in terms of like shining a light and just amplifying like what you're doing even more. So yeah, just keep doing what you're doing. And I'm sure we'll have more conversations like 100%. Going forward. I don't know if there's any time to like talk about what's been going on because
We don't. Okay. No.
Well yeah, we'll wrap up there. But yeah, guys, thank you so much for joining us, man. No worries, really appreciate it. And I hope you've enjoyed the conversation.
It's been phenomenal. Yeah. Absolutely loved it. Yeah, loved it.
So yeah, guys, thanks for watching and until next time. Take care.